So I go in the grocery store to buy fruit, and I go, and there's the whole section of this wonderful fruit. Looks beautiful sitting there. It has Dwayne's labels on them, so everybody knows who it is and what it is. And I go and pick it up, and I take it home and eat it, and we enjoy it. What we forget is behind that thing sitting there is a lot of work. So I've asked Craig if he would come up. Craig's father owned a blueberry farm, and then he inherited it, and so he was a blueberry farmer for years. And I've asked if he would come up and enlighten us about raising blueberries. So, Craig, what does it take to make a blueberry bush healthy and help it to thrive? And what kind of stuff goes on behind the scenes in bringing a blueberry to be?
Well, first of all, you have to plant it.
Okay.
And then again, you have to cultivate it. And I'm not saying...
How far apart do you plant it?
They're about 6 feet or 8 feet
so
apart.
So there's an optimum distance.
And then there's 10 feet between the rows.
So there's a science to blueberries.
Oh, absolutely.
Are there books about it?
There are.
I remember when your dad died, I saw some of his books on blueberries.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And so we have those in our library now. So so he spaced everything out and he planted them according to all the specifications. And then he had, and we don't do all this now, but you know, he had to keep all the weeds down. They're all kind of, trees will grow in among them. Blackberries will grow up, ferns will grow up, and all of these things, wild roses will grow up, and all of these things will hinder from the bush from producing as completely as it could.
Okay, so what's your cycle like in the year? There's certain times of year you're supposed to do certain things, and
right. So early, or while the plant is dormant, so in the fall it loses all of its leaves, and so all of the strength goes back down to the roots. And so to get the optimal crop, you need to cut out the oldest wood so that the younger things will grow up. And so you need to take out, every year you need to take out some of it. If you let it go, you maybe even need to take out as much as a third to a half of the extra wood that's in there. So that's what you do in the down season. And then once it's time for
them... And just to affirm that, I got an email from his son, invited me to come out and help him do that process. He gave it all, sent it to, I think, everybody who takes a part of it. But anyway, go ahead.
And you know, nobody's left out. If you'd like to come, it's the first two Saturdays in March. You're welcome to come and help prune. And so then another thing happens, and there's a Kazaki man who brings in about 30 hives of bees. And the name of his business is Hardworking Bees. And so he brings in the bees, and they will pollinate the blueberries, and that will make sure that more berries grow. The bees do that. And so that's great. And then, depending on what the weather's been, and, you know, I never saw this myself because we were in Nigeria, but one of the neighbors said my dad had this tower and he put up these sprinklers and he sprinkled he pumped water out of the creek and he sprinkled it on the crops so that the berries will grow bigger and sweeter. And some years you don't need to do that because there's plenty of water. And then, of course, the last thing you have to do is you actually have to go into the berry patch and reach your hand down and pluck the berries and put them in a bucket.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes.
All that so we can have them on our table. So we're going to start a series today, going to go 9 weeks long, on the fruit of the Spirit. So we're gonna put together a fruit salad, if you will. So we're gonna do one fruit each week, but if you look at it and you put them all together, then you have fruit salad, and that's what we want. We want us to have a fruit salad in our life. So make sure you don't say, I'm gonna be just patient, I'm not gonna be anything else, but we need to have a fruit salad. Some of you remember Craig Goodman, one of his things that I like, but he said, knowledge is knowing that tomatoes are fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in your fruit salad. So we're not putting any tomatoes in it, but we have 9 different fruit here that Scripture talks about. Galatians chapter 5, and you know these, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So what I'm wanting us to realize is that just like the blueberries, just like any fruit, you don't just go out and plant an apple tree, let it go, and expect that in the fall you're going to have wonderful harvest. Craig has explained the things that something as simple as the blueberries, you go through there, and it's a lot of work to have a good, luscious blueberry crop. And the same is true of the fruit of the Spirit. Don't just expect, you know, I become a Christian, I've got the Spirit of God in me, and all of these things are going to automatically happen. Like real fruit, they take cultivation. So we talk about what these are, then how you cultivate them in our lives. The first thing is that they have to be valued. If you look at these 9 fruit, some of these our culture does not value. I may value them in your life when you relate to me, but I don't value them in my life when I have to relate to you. Does that make sense? So we talk about love, but love is all about how I feel and how you help me feel the way that I want to feel. That's what love is. We talk about joy. The mantra today is, does it make me happy? But is there a realization that there needs to be a deep, ongoing joy in our life? We drive along, we see a bumper sticker. This is practice, random acts of kindness. At the same time, they're cutting us off in traffic. Okay? Goodness is seen as very subjective. You know, standards of good. And it's seen as very subjective. Paul says these attributes are to be evident in every believer's life. They're supposed to be the fruit. It's the outgrowth growth of our walk with God. So my question is, are they evident in your life? Are each of them evident in your life? We just got done with the book of Colossians, and there's one chapter that kind of led to this series. He talks about putting aside the old, and he lists a lot of the old sins, putting those aside and putting on the characteristics, some of which are here. And so part of the growth in the Christian life is the transforming from having all of these actions and attitudes and beliefs and everything in our life in the past, and as we come to Christ and begin to walk with Him, then we get to the point where we're to be putting on the new. So we need to learn to value these attributes, because our culture doesn't. Another part of it is when we look at these attributes, let me look it up just a second. This fruit comes from abiding. John 15 says this, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the true vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Fruit, the production of fruit here comes from abiding. It's sourced in our relationship with Jesus Christ. There's been a discussion about what is the fruit here. Is it the saving of souls or is it characteristics in life? I say yes. It's both. As we walk with Christ, as we walk closer to him, the more we walk with him, the more we become like him. So that each of these fruit becomes a part of our life. And then as a result of that, people look at our life and see something different, something they want, and then they come to see us and to come to know Christ, and we can become, have a part in people coming to Christ as a part of that. And then they must be intentionally practiced. These do not come naturally. They are supernatural. Galatians 5 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. We need to cultivate Christ. We need to cultivate these fruit. And as we get closer to Christ, we begin; those become more and more part of our life. So my question is, this is a question, I know the answer. Christ exhibits each of these qualities. I'm going to give you a test. Okay? You guys know a lot about the life of Christ. So when you think about love, what event or saying or something in his life tells us he knows about love? Anybody? This is not a rhetorical question, by the way. Anybody? Pardon? Somebody said the cross, okay? The greatest example can be. Okay, what about joy? Can anybody think of an event or one of his things that he says or something that talks about joy?
Fruit for the joy that was set before.
That's it.
The cross.
Obviously, very good. Thank you. What about peace?
Peace I live with you.
Very good. Excellent, excellent. What about patience?
Tribulation working patience.
Tribulation working. Is there a place in his life where he showed patience?
They hear them, for they know not what they do.
Yes. And then who said disciples? I mean, that's a big one too. Okay, kindness.
Neither do I condemn you.
That's, yes, very, very good. Goodness?
All the time.
What? When I think of goodness, that's right. When I think of goodness, I think of his interaction with the religious leaders. Because they had this standard of good, and he totally changed that and said, God's definition of good is different. Faithfulness.
I always do the will of the Father.
I always do the will of the Father. Very good, very good. Gentleness?
Let the little children come.
Excellent, excellent. Self-control?
Not my will, but thy
will. Not my will. That's a good one. The other one I thought about is temptation in the wilderness. The self-control. Okay, so as we get close to Christ, as we abide with him, we begin to learn these attributes and become more part of us. Thank you. So you pass the test. You guys go out of here with A's. Very good. Very good. Our first thing we're talking about is love. First John 4, verses 7 to 11. If you would turn with me. First John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11, John writes this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. And this is what you brought up earlier when we talked about love. That God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It says he loved us when we were unlovable. That's what Romans 5 tells us. Before we were lovable, he loved us. He took the initiative to love us unconditionally to the point he brought salvation. That's what we celebrated this morning at communion. We do it every week. His standard of love is unconditional, giving of himself for the benefit of the other person. And he loves us, and then he said, because he loves us, because we become recipients of his love, that means we have the ability to take that and love other people. His love to this world is done through his vessels, of which we are. So we become the hands and the face of God's love. See, we love because we hope to be loved. That's a selfish love. But God loves in spite of who we are. And because we're the recipients, Elizabeth Elliot used to say on her Gateway to Joy broadcast, you are loved with an everlasting love. That's where it starts. We recognize God's love, and it becomes a part of us, so then we need to move that and become the demonstration, God's demonstration of his love, God's expression of his love to the world around us, to a world that is starving for love. So how do we cultivate love? We're talking about cultivating. How do we cultivate love? First is we have to realize it's more than a feeling. It's a choice. It's an action. And our world is so caught up in, I fell in love. It's a feeling. Well, I fell out of love. And then I can walk away from it at that point. Love is more than a feeling. It's a choice that we make. We choose to love. Feelings might come along, and oftentimes they do, but it's a choice of loving. Gary Chapman, in his book, talks about on love languages. Says there are five love languages: words of affirmation, quality time, and these are good to just think about. Words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, gifts, and physical touch. The comedian Jeff Allen says apparently sarcasm isn't a love language. So you look at that and he's saying different ones of us are fulfilled by different parts of it. Some of us just, you know, need those words of affirmation. Some of us need acts of service, and that's how we can really, you can show love to us. Some of us, it's a quality time. Some of us, a giving of gifts. Some of us, by physical touch. Sue and I were with Aunt Jane, our 92-year-old aunt, last week. And she said, you young people don't know how much us widowed older people need a hug and a kiss. And I thought, physical touch, that's it. And she appreciated that. So I'm going to give you an acrostic on how to demonstrate love. It's L-O-V-E, okay? So the L is listening when others are speaking. And we need to listen to understand, not listen to figure out how we're going to come back with a brilliant response. I remember having a conversation years ago with this man. There were three of us been together, and this one man had just come back from burying his mother. So we're talking about what it was like and what had gone through and the experience and all. And this other man came in and started talking about, you know, burying his father, and that happened years ago. And this guy, I could just see his whole demeanor just dropped because we weren't listening. And we lost that moment of saying, I want to hear you. I'm demonstrating love by listening to you. Tig's not here because he's down with his grandchildren, helping out his grandchildren. He loves to say, how do you spell love? T-I-M-E. And he's demonstrating it this week by spending time with his grandchildren. And that's a part of that. Part of that is listening, part of that is spending, because listening takes time. And it takes concentrating on the person. And it takes not just, you know, thinking through, because I get that way. You know, you think through and I go, okay, now what do I have that I can contribute, rather than just listening. Listening to understand. The O is for overlooking petty faults and forgiving all failures. This is a hard one. Overlooking petty faults and forgiving all failures. We talked in the Breaking of Bread about Joseph and his story. You talk about overlooking, they weren't petty faults, were they? Your brother sold you into slavery. We show love even when the people we love, we don't think they deserve it. And that is a hard one. We want to find fault. We live in a critical mood oftentimes. And Jesus talked about forgiving as we have been forgiven. We demonstrate by God's love by forgiving as we have been forgiven. Then V is valuing other people for who they are. We have to start with other people. They are loved by God. That's the first thing we have to remember about other people. No matter how they look, no matter what they do to us, no matter how they treat us, they are loved by God. They have value because God gave them value as being made in His image. And oftentimes we want to step in and we want to fix that person and change that person. But that's really God's job, isn't it? And we can pray for them. You know, Holy Spirit, He's the one. Our responsibility is not to fix people, not to change people. That's the responsibility of the Spirit of God. We need to value people for who they are. Then the E is expressing love in a practical way. This comes in all shapes and sizes. We can use the love languages. We can look at looking for deeds. We can be listening. As we listen for ways that we can help out, ways that we can demonstrate love. And it can take all kinds of different forms, from doing practical things. Praying for them is a practical thing. So last year, so Mission Connection has several ministries. One of them is called the Student Connection. And it happened last year in the fall. They brought a group of students together, and then as a part of that, they sent teams of students out into the neighborhood just to visit with people, go and talk to them and find them and listen to them and that type of thing. They went to this one man's house, they're just chit-chatting, is there anything we can do to help you? And he says, well, I have a pile of firewood here that I need to have taken over to my sister's house because she needs it over there. Oh, we can do that. They found the pickup, brought it over, piled it, and took it over there. He said, I'm not a praying man. But this morning I prayed and said, God, I need that firewood taken over. How can I get it done? Here was the hands and the feet of God. So it's looking at those things and saying, as we listen, as we get to know them, say, what are some practical ways that we can express God's love to this person? Sometimes it's encouraging, sometimes it's admonishing people. If we do it in a loving, caring way. And come alongside and helping them with very practical, practical things. Little Chad was a shy, quiet young fellow. One day he came home and told his mother, and this is appropriate for this week. One day he came home and told his mother, he'd like to make a Valentine for everyone in his class. Mom's heart sank. She thought, I wish he wouldn't do that. Because she'd washed the children when they walked home from school. Her Chad was always behind them. They laughed and hung on to each other and talked to each other, but Chad was never included. Nevertheless, she decided she would go along with her son, so she purchased the paper and glue and crayons. For 3 whole weeks, night after night, Chad painstakingly made 33 Valentines. Valentine's Day dawned, and Chad was beside himself with excitement. He carefully stacked them up, put them in a bag, and bolted out the door. His mom decided to bake his favorite cookies and serve them up warm and nice with a cool glass of milk when he came home from school. She just knew he'd be disappointed. Maybe that would ease the pain. It hurt her to think that he wouldn't get many Valentines, maybe none at all. That afternoon, she had the cookies and milk on the table. When she heard the children outside, she looked out the window. Sure enough, here they came laughing and having the best time. And as always, there was Chad in the rear. He walked a little faster than usual. She fully expected him to burst into tears as soon as he got inside. His arms were empty, she noticed, and when the door opened, she choked back the tears. She said, Mommy has some warm cookies and milk for you. But he hardly heard her words. He just marched right on by, his face aglow, and all he could say was, not a one, not a one. Her heart sank. Then he added, I didn't forget a one, not a single one. When I read that, it touched me. And the more I got to think about it, it broke my heart. Because see, the way we are with love, that's a sad story. Why didn't those kids include him? Because sometimes when we love people, it doesn't come back as loved us. That's what unconditional love is all about. That's what Jesus realized when he died on the cross. Some of us have responded, many have not. But we have the privilege and the responsibility to love in spite of that. Because God loves us. Father, we thank you for the love that you've demonstrated to us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Help us in our life, even today, even this week, to be looking at the people around us and say, how can I demonstrate your love to that person? Not just to say things like, I love you, but to let them know by how we treat them, by how we value them, by how we listen to them. And I just want to thank you again for your love, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.